So, Jed, you celebrated a birthday this weekend, and how did you celebrate?
I celebrated with cake, of course, and pizza, of course.
Presents?
And I got lots of interesting presents that were basically Amazon wish list items.
Oh, very good.
Little household items I needed. But then the big celebration was going to my first Citi Field game to watch the Mets play the Marlins.
Very nice.
It was delightful. It's a great stadium, much better than Shea Stadium. I don't know if you've ever been to Shea
Yes,
Stadium, but
numerous times.
yikes.
Yeah, big difference.
Huge difference. Beautiful place. It's a little. The acoustics were a little weird, so it was like the team was winning, but it didn't sound like a team was winning in the game. It sounded more like, I don't know, batting practice was going on or something. I mean, except for the drunk people to my left, who were delightfully inebriated and hysterically, John, wore Mets clothes but were cheering for the Marlins. It was hilarious.
So
That Noah Syndergaard sure can throw a baseball.
he can bring it.
Zoinks.
Yeah, he can bring it. And he has developed, I guess, a slightly different two-seamer, and that doesn't bode well for National League hitters or all hitters.
Yeah, it's fun to watch too. And the stadium, I will say, the stadium was quiet, but they did get pretty amped up for him, especially the inebriated lady to my right, who seemed to get more and more enamored of Noah as the game and the alcohol progressed.
That's not fun.
Her husband didn't seem to mind, though, so he seemed like a
Because
good
he was
sport.
probably into the game and she was preoccupied with
He
Noah
was probably into
Syndergaard.
him too. Who is it? The guy's a monster.
It's that hair. I think it's that hair.
He's a golden god.
He is. You're doing that octave thing again.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, you're going
Usually, I
up.
do that when I'm lying. But no, he really is a golden god. How about this? He's a golden god.
There you go. So
That sounded a little bit like George Takei.
before we get into the
Oh
show, I want to
my.
remind everybody that this is foul play. Foul play. Foul territory. Jeez. This is foul play. This is foul territory.
John, you
See,
are the
the
worst
one,
at this.
I am the worst introducer in the history of introductions. Let's try that again. This is Foul Territory, a baseball podcast. I'm John Semple at John Semple on Twitter. He's Jed Rigney. Rigney at Jed
Wow.
Rigney on Twitter.
We should just pre-record this.
And just, yeah, I can always drop it in
You just drop it in.
every time, so I don't have to do it. And I was all ready for it this week, and then I go foul play. I had Chevy Chase on my mind.
That is a pretty good movie. I don't know if it really holds up, but it's a pretty good movie. Really nice elements in it. Hey, John, I want to mention something to our listener. Hey, listener, why don't you pause this podcast and step on over to iTunes and rate and review our podcast? That will help increase our standings in the podcast community. It's literally the only thing that we ask of anyone. We don't even ask that you like the show, just that you rate it well. That's all, John.
So that's the no bit bit.
I guess so. I wrote down no bit, but then suddenly I was like, you know what? We should tell our guy that's listening, go over to iTunes, even if you're not using iTunes, and rate this thing. Help us get more listeners. That's the way you do it. That's the way it's called astroturfing. Yeah, sure, it's a little disingenuous and we should just go based off of whatever, but frankly, whatever is not that great sometimes.
So explain to me this term astroturfing. I haven't heard that before.
Oh, okay. So that's basically when you're starting a fake grassroots movement.
Oh, I get
Yeah,
it.
so anyway, so basically you get your friends and family and their friends and family to up review or up rate things, and then it gives it sort of a false It gives it a false rating in the positive way. It's not false, but it gets it going, right? It gets the rating and it gets things into the system. And
And then you have that cranky uncle that gives it a 2-star.
right. No, I have had friends and family say, like, well, I only in good conscience can do a 3-star. Like, okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, friend.
Yeah, check. No Christmas gifts for you.
I'd like to pretend that it wasn't family and that it was just a friend, but it was actually family.
Well, they'll live.
People are weird, right? Like, they're like, as if they only have a certain number of stars to give out. Here's the rule. Give everybody 5 stars unless they murdered you.
Yeah, it's just, I always find it interesting too, because I know a lot of people who will get so intense about, you know, films and TV shows. And it's like, I look at things from a genre perspective and what it's intended to be. If it's intended to be a comedy or a lighthearted movie, or it's intended to be a popcorn blockbuster, that's what I'm rating it. I'm not comparing it to, you know, some Oscar, you know, Academy Award winning film. So it is what it is. So you rate it based on what it's intended to do. So if it's intended to scare you, did it scare you even though it was bad? Well, then that means it was a good scary movie.
Right. You can't compare a scary movie to, say, something like, I don't know, Goodfellas. Though I guess Goodfellas is kind of scary at times. But it's just a different film, and you shouldn't be sitting there thinking like, you know, it's like albums too. Like, you don't sit down and listen to like Katy Perry. I almost said Luke Perry. A Katy Perry album. You don't sit down and listen to a Luke Perry album. That's for sure. But you don't listen to a Katy Perry album and think like, oh, how does this compare to Bob Dylan?
Right. Right.
And I don't know if this Katy Perry album is any good because she's not going to get a Nobel Prize for literature.
Right. Or she would probably show up though and pick it up.
She probably would.
In a timely manner.
She probably would.
And we've talked about that already. So we can move on to headlines.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
So we have several things to get through here. So this is a nice long list of headlines. So probably the biggest thing when you look at the beginning of a season always has interesting starts, whether it's someone who's doing poorly or a team that's doing poorly or unexpected performances from individuals or teams. And probably the biggest, and there's been several unexpected starts, but the Twins.
Yes.
The Twins, what a start.
Yeah, they just lost today, though, didn't they? I felt bad. I put them on the list because they were like 6-1, but then 6-2. But still, 6-2 for them is pretty good, right?
Yeah, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the Reds.
Yeah.
Those are like the big surprises, I think, so far, is that these teams, again, 5-6 games into the season, are going against what everybody was saying in the beginning.
Yeah, and isn't it weird how, I don't know if you noticed, like 3 or 4 games in, there were no undefeated teams.
Yeah, it happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, like all of it. Normally, like, someone goes like 6-0, 7-0, and they're like, oh, but it's like even the Cubs are 4-2 or whatever.
4-3, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been an interesting start to the year. I mean, there's been a lot of weird, weird baseball-y type things. So, but I'm excited about this Twins team. You know, I think their pitching isn't that great, but they have a very good defense. And if, you know, Miguel Sano can keep hitting like he's hitting, and they can get their DH spot sorted out, which they don't really have sorted out. And Byron Buxton is playing incredible defense. Max Kepler is playing good defense, but his offensive numbers have been somewhat disappointing.
Yeah, and it's...
Sorry, I said a little burp there, and I just was trying to cover it. Well, it sounded like I got very introspective. But no, I was really just trying to hide this burp that I had going.
But Sano hot, off to a hot start. We'll talk a little bit about him later.
Yeah.
And like you said, but Buxton, you know, again, once again, what's going on with
off
this
off to
guy?
A not start.
Not start,
This is a good time to advertise later on in the show, listeners. We have our segment, Hot or Not. Tune in later by continuing to listen.
Okay, so...
coming up after the hour, right?
Coming up, yeah.
A little radio
After the second break.
Yeah, coming up after the second break, we got a hot new segment called Hot or Not. Almost doesn't sound like words at a certain point.
No, it's music.
Hey, John, I'm going to go to the hotel with pizza and have a burrito. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
You're making me laugh.
All right, well, that's good.
Okay, let's move on to, are we good with the Twins?
Anything else we're Twins. I just wanted to mention them. Good for them.
It might be the last time we talk about the Twins.
It might be the last time we talk about how well they're doing.
And we really don't need to spend a lot of time because last year we spent an inordinate amount of time with the Twins when we went deep into their...
John, you bring that every time we talk about flaws in this program, you bring up my 35-minute test diatribe about...
We owe the other teams
clubhouse.
So much more. We got to make up for the...
It was basically a good idea, John. No one ever got to hear it, though, mercifully.
So let's move on. So I don't know anything about this one, so you have to fill me in. There's a Red Sox player that stars in the movie Outbreak 2?
No, John, it's a metaphor. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Everyone on the team has the flu.
Oh, really?
Benintendi threw up in the middle of a game.
Did they get it on television?
Hanley... Oh, I don't know. John, that's disgusting. Come on. There's children listening. Actually, there shouldn't be.
They might not anymore after this.
Okay, so
so Benintendi, no, I wasn't aware. I did hear something about there was a bug going through the clubhouse, but I didn't yeah, hear anything
like
further than
steamrolling
that.
Through. Mookie Betts, he's a good player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flew. Hanley Ramirez flew. Benintendi flew ish. Wound up playing puke ish. Right? Then Bradley hurts his knee. He's on the 10-day DL. Another comment about the 10-day DL coming later on. Who's the other one that got hurt? Anyway, Xander Bogaerts has been out on bereavement, which is no one's fault except for his own, right?
Right.
Do better next time, Xander. Take better care of your extended family. I don't know.
I have no idea what happened.
Hey, sometimes you just got to come up with a hot take just to have a hot take.
Right.
Sometimes I don't even know the take upon which I am hot taking, and so it just comes out like that. I just know he was on bereavement.
So we can blame the slow start?
Yeah, but like, look, they're not hitting, really, and they're not even playing in the game. So it's like, they're what, 500 now? They're 3-3, something like that? 3-4, 4-3?
3-3.
But they, like, Chris Sale has been...
Dominant, but nothing to show for.
Has been more dominant than he was with the White Sox. Hey, maybe this guy will pitch better being on a team that he actually likes being on.
Right, and the whole thing was, I'm going to leave the White Sox because I had no run support, and he's 0 for 2 in run support.
With no run support. But yeah. That's because of the illness, right? That's because you got guys playing ill and guys not playing because they're ill. And, you know, you're going to see, like, this team will score all the runs, but just right now it's not happening. But they're still eking it out. They're still 3-3 or whatever.
They're in the hunt, for
sure.
They're not. This early in the season, I think everybody is still in it.
Well, yes and no, but
except for Atlanta.
I mean, there's no reason to change what we thought a week ago based on what's happened this week. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, you know, predictions for the rest of the year or fantasy baseball stuff.
No,
there's
way
just
too
no
early.
Point in doing it right now.
Way too early.
Except for some of these closers.
The closers are getting lit up this year.
Oof. Ay, caramba.
Bullpen by committee is going to be the norm before long.
You know, and I almost agree with it. I got to say, the one I love the most is what the Indians are doing. Mm-hmm. And I know not every bullpen has that thing of like, well, they have the closer at the end, and then they have the Andrew Miller they can kind of move around, or he could close, or he could, you know, but they also have those nice elements like, was it Brian Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
He could close if needed. And I think their bullpen is doing it right. But some other guys like the Reds, I know we're sort of off on tangent here, but like the Reds are doing some interesting stuff. They brought in Michael Lorenzen yesterday in the third inning.
Yeah, and he pitched four and a half innings, something like that.
Yeah, and like came in and there was bases loaded or something like that, and they were up 4-1, bases loaded. But this is normally the eighth inning guy for the Reds, and they brought him in the third or the fourth. I don't remember which it was. And he shuts down the Pirates. And the Pirates wind up losing the game, but the Reds wind up winning the game. But this is like a new way, like, hey, bring in your best pitchers in the higher leverage situations.
Mm-hmm. No,
instead of like, well, three outs left in the game, give them the save.
And maybe we'll see, look back, looking back, 10 years from now, looking back, we'll be like, can you remember when they used to have specialization at the starting end of the rotation? You know, someone would go six innings. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so we may be looking at, you know, a pitching staff. And the pitching staff pitches based on strengths against the individual player and or teams, based on where they are in the order, based on the score of the game and situations. Could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the problems, the biggest problems I see with the Red Sox manager is John Farrell. It's hard to argue because he's won a World Series. So I'm not saying get rid of him, but he does seem to have trouble with the bullpen. Like, oh no, I have to wait until the ninth for the closer. And like, no, sometimes you need the closer in the eighth inning, because if he gets out of the jam, then you still have a chance to win the game.
Right.
Anyway, we're off onto like the fourth tangent. Subsection 6, Roman numeral 3.
Heading out of the galaxy.
Yeah. What's next?
The disappearance of Otis Nixon.
Yes. Were you tracking this as it was happening?
I heard a little bit about it. That, you know, it was announced that he was missing. And then it was announced that he was found. And there was never any reason as to why he disappeared. Other than he was supposed to play golf
things,
and didn't show up.
Yeah. first of all, for those of you who don't know Otis Nixon, he is most famous for looking like an 80-year-old man when he was 30. But he played for the Braves, and who else did he play for?
The Red Sox.
Did he play for the Red Sox?
He did.
I only remember him on the Braves. Anyway, this guy, uncanny. This is like the Greg Oden of baseball. Like really fast. I think he played on the Dodgers for a year, too, now that I think about it.
Yeah, he played on several teams.
Yeah, several teams. But anyway, but he looked so old in the face. Anyway.
And now it's caught up to him. He looks appropriate.
Now he actually looks like an 80-year-old.
He's 58 years old now, and he's kind of looks his age, finally. Yeah. But there was never any explanation, was there?
Yeah. No.
Is he, just you know, it's safe. It's like if I went out to the grocery store and I didn't come back in an hour, that my wife would call and, you know, report me as missing. Because he went to play golf and didn't show up.
Well, first of all, John, we know your wife would be celebrating that hour.
Ecstatic.
And would not be calling anyone other than just like.
She's like, nap time.
Nap time. It's that. And then maybe a relaxing massage. Call right. over a massage therapist.
Yeah,
I don't know when my husband's coming back. He may never, but we'll sort that out later.
Later, right.
Man, I know what it's like. I know what my wife would be doing. Jack squat. Maybe if I didn't come back that night.
But apparently Otis Nixon's family was concerned.
Yeah, well, maybe he's got some other stuff going on where they might be a little more predisposed to that. Anyway.
Okay.
I hope it doesn't turn down a sad road, story.
Yeah, that wouldn't be. You know, I hate to hear that about in any sport when an aging
sport,
player
any
is
any human.
Down on
sad stories, you know what they do, John? They make me feel sad.
Except for stories like Jeffries, right? Nails with the Phillies, who's been, you know, in jail. And
Jeffries. That's not sad. That's hysterical with all his like investment fraud and all that.
Right. No, it's not Jeffries. Who is it?
It's Lenny Dykstra.
Dykstra. Yeah.
No. Come on. That's some of the best stuff out there.
It's ludicrous. I remember when he was on an episode of Brian Gumbel's show, I think, on HBO. And it was so obvious that the guy's lying through his teeth.
Yeah. I totally remember that interview, too, where he's just like, I'm making millions of dollars.
Yeah, it just was like, what is wrong with this guy?
Like, okay, bonehead. Okay, bonehead guy. I'm sure you're making millions of dollars. Sounds good. What's 2 + 2? Let's try this one first.
Yeah, he was just a disaster. And he showed up at events when he wasn't invited and made a spectacle of himself.
Now that's not sad to me. To me, that's the nectar of life. That's awesome.
He's trying to get by.
Maybe for someone in his life it's sad, but even then, who cares?
Speaking of, maybe this is, I was going to say, speaking of a who cares type of news item, it's kind of an item. It's just because we're comparing to this year to last year statistically, but MLB is now using StatCast to track pitching velocity, and it's ticked up by a little over a half a mile an hour speed for all pitchers, which is making fans a little bit perplexed when they see some of the radar speeds posted on the scoreboards. They're a little bit higher than what they're used to.
Yeah, I mean, I think some stadiums have had what they call hot guns, mm-hmm. which sounds like a male strip review, but where they would run a little, you know, instead of it being a 92 mile an hour fastball, it would show as 94.
Wasn't that a Charlie Sheen movie?
Hot guns. I don't know. It's what they were going to call Magic Mike.
Was it really?
Maybe. I wish.
You catch me every once in a while with your like stated as facts moments. I'm just like, wow, I didn't know
that.
I used
to have a friend where that was his only sense of humor, was that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we used to call him Simba because he was the Lion King.
That's great. That's a good nickname. That's awesome. So I guess the difference between the old way is that the old statistic was they were picking up velocity about 50, 55 feet away from home plate.
Right.
And with this new technology with StatCast, they're picking up the velocity as it leaves the pitcher's hand.
Right.
So they're getting that extra gain, which is, you know,
I just put it on the list because I just think it's kind of interesting, you know, like all the measurement stuff that they're doing.
It's crazy. It really is.
It feels like. Here's the thing. One thing I know for sure is that baseball has had these numbers for longer than they're showing us, right? And it's sort of like the government, right? Not to get all conspiracy theory, but like the government had like fax machines and track balls and all that stuff decades before they let it out for the public, right?
Mm-hmm.
So baseball, and this is one of the ways where they've been jipping the players, is because it's MLB creative, digital.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're the ones.
They're like leading edge, cutting edge, leading edge. Is a leading edge a thing? Probably not. Cutting edge. I mean, you could have a leading edge. Like there's, oh, look, he's about to cut me with the leading edge of that knife. The edge which is leading on. Anyway, so they've been cutting edge with this technology, so much so that they've sold off, they've licensed their technology to other
sports.
Sports and other non-sports who just think their technology is incredible.
So they're going to have it in the workplace to measure productivity.
Exactly. Like how fast does Joe move to the coffee room? Looks like we have a launch angle of 18 degrees the chair.
Why is Jeff in the bathroom for 20 minutes, you know, every morning after his cup of coffee?
I think we know. But we're going to get those launch angles too.
They're going to have all of that.
We're going to have
performance metrics will be completely
different.
Bowel
movement. What kind of exit velocity are we talking about here? Come on, Jeff.
And they'll post the statistics on the bathroom wall.
Oh, no. No. Gross.
Well, that took a weird twist.
So it's just interesting with these numbers. I'm curious to see, you know, I know the Major League Baseball has been doing stuff with them to figure out, to track things. But I'm very curious to see when these numbers get out into the stat nerds and all that, like what they're going to do with it and share with the public and make it. You know, because they've already come up with the launch angle and the exit velocity and this new thing called barrels. And that's when you hit a ball just a certain way and it's the most mm-hmm. likely to get a base hit. When it hits the ball, you hit the batter hits the ball at the right angle, at the right speed.
Right.
Anyway, enough of that.
So let's move into the next headline since we still have so much more to go through.
Yes.
All-star uniforms. This year in Miami, the player uniforms are going to have a little patch on the sleeve that indicates how many all-star games they've been in.
Let me ask you a question, John. Does this feel a little bit like a Trump's America kind of thing? Because I remember the last time we had a country where they were putting stars on people's sleeves.
And what was that?
70 years ago.
Oh.
Little country in the middle of Europe.
Right, gotcha.
Trump's America, John.
Trump's
Watch
America.
Out.
So baseball players are going to be shining examples of that regime.
Well, no, because they put the Star of David on the... Anyway.
Oh, I'm just completely lost with what that...
Hey, listeners, if you got that joke, thank you. John didn't.
I wasn't thinking Star of David. I was thinking, you know, like 4-star, 5-star.
Oh, no, but every country puts stars on... But I'm talking about putting a star on their sleeve to identify them.
Identify them, right.
Gosh, John.
Got it. Jeez.
Why don't you get my Hitler jokes?
That one was deep. That one was deep. And maybe I'm just not in the right frame of mind.
Let's go on to the next thing.
Or the wrong frame of mind. So enough of the all-star player uniforms. Oh,
no one cares.
The funny,
I just wanted to do a Hitler joke.
The situation over the weekend, I think it was the weekend, with Yadier Molina, the sticky baseball.
Yeah. You mean the ball that stuck to his uniform, even though there was no foreign substance?
Okay. Supposedly.
Okay. So the MLB says there's no violation, but what?
Which makes no sense to me. Not that there was a violation. There was obviously something. It wasn't a Velcro ball, as far as I know.
Well, that's they do not have Velcro balls.
So it was sticking.
We all know how painful those can be. Am I right, listeners?
Especially if you're wearing Velcro shorts.
Yes. Oh,
it's the worst.
Getting undressed is the worst. Getting dressed is so easy.
Yeah. You feel all tidy.
All day. It's just nothing moves. But then when you got to wrap it up at the end of the day.
Screaming. So, but it was strange to see that because when the play first happened, I thought it was, when I first saw the replay, I thought that it got stuck in his gear, like in his shin guard or up in his chest protector. But then when he like stopped looking and stood up and the ball was basically protruding from his chest protector, just made no... I was like, how? What? There's nothing for it to get wedged into.
10% of me wanted that to be, like, lodged into his ribs.
Yeah, so it was jammed into something. But it was...
Yeah.
It just looked like it was...
Yeah, it was stuck on
attached.
There because there was a foreign substance on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, the foreign substance rule, like, look, everyone's using a foreign substance. John, I'm using a foreign substance right now.
But the catchers will occasionally use pine tar on their shin guards just to, you know, to help grip the ball. So they'll wipe their, especially when there's a runner on base, they'll kind of grab a dab of pine tar and they'll be ready to grip the ball. Right, don't want to have too much time.
Technically, that's illegal, right?
Technically, right. Yeah. But he must have had an inordinate amount of whatever the substance was to be able to hold up
Pineda's
a baseball.
He had Michael Pineda's neck on there is what he had. Inside yeah, joke fine. For the people who remember the big glob of right. pine tar on Michael Pineda's neck.
So our next story is the phenom from Japan, Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Sounds close enough.
Is leaving, has based on a 60 Minutes interview, indicated that he will be leaving the Nippon Baseball League for the MLB next year.
Right. Couple things for the listeners. This is basically the Japanese Babe Ruth. He is a great hitter and a great pitcher.
Crazy, crazy stats.
Crazy hitting numbers, crazy pitching numbers. What would they even do with him in baseball? You got to assume he's going to go to a National League team, right? Or could he go to an American League team and DH on his off days? I guess lots of possibilities.
Which would allow for another bullpen.
That might actually be a little bit smarter than going to a National League team where he would bat once a week. Because he would then have to play the field if he didn't. And I don't think you want him playing the field and being a pitcher.
Too much of a risk. I would think that the DH thing would be. So the big question is, when he is over here, how you draft him in a fantasy baseball league? Is he a hitter? Is he a pitcher? He can only fit in one of those categories.
And I guess you know what's going to happen is each league, like ESPN or whatever, they will choose what the primary is. I've never seen a league where you got to do both.
Yeah, here's his statistics. He had 322 with 22 home runs and 7 stolen bases in 104 games in the field. And he posted a 1.86 ERA in 140 innings with 174 strikeouts. That is a well-rounded athlete there. And he's only 22.
Only 22. But here's the catch, right? The catch is, if he comes over this year, he stands to lose $200 million?
Yeah, that's the number. Correct.
That's the number they're guessing he loses if he plays, if he stays in Japan for one more year and then becomes a free agent for Major League Baseball, he can get himself another $200 million. That's why it's a little dubious that he says he's coming over. Because look, I would love, if I was Japanese, I would probably want to play on the highest level, blah, 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 blah. But $200 million is $200 million.
He said in the interview, the 60 Minutes interview, that money wasn't an issue for him.
$200 million is an issue for everyone.
It's an issue for me.
It's an issue for every. It's not like we're talking about a $20 million difference that, you know, he could probably make up at some point. Like, this is $200 million. Like, he could go on vacation for a year and then play in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And get $200 million more dollars. Anyway, I think the salary, the international spending cap that they came up with, the MLB came up with, was stupid, and this is exactly why it's stupid. But, you know, they're trying to control money, and they're trying to keep the player expenses down, meanwhile not paying the minor leaguers. Anyway, that's a whole other. I don't want to tangent. We've already been, like, down 800 tangents.
Yeah, whole nother show.
But anyway, I'm excited about this guy, you know, top flight pitcher. It's like Tanaka or a Darvish coming over, but then also an Ichiro hitter. Like, that's fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And he throws 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
and probably 100.6 with the new gun.
And see how he does it, you know, how he competes with the American players. It's exciting stuff.
And it's always exciting, too, because your first inclination is, will he be able to replicate at that same level?
Right.
On both sides of the, you know, the pitcher, hitter. Can he do the same? Can he be as effective in major leagues as he was over there? That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very different. There's not, like you said, it's a modern day Babe Ruth equivalent.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Babe Ruth, in addition to being one of the greatest hitters of all time, because he no longer could be considered the greatest hitter, I think with Barry Bonds and Ted Williams in there too, he's not the greatest hitter, but also was an exceptional pitcher before he switched over to hitting full time.
Yeah, he was a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. You look at
he
his
was
statistics
headed towards that.
For that time frame, yeah. And I think
he was
six,
headed towards that.
Six seasons, his stats in the seasons that he pitched were incredible.
Very incredible, yes. They were very credible.
They were. He earned it.
They were unincredible. No, they were non, I don't know what I'm trying to do. What's next?
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the Braves. Their new stadium opens up with their series. I think it starts on Thursday or Friday. So it must be Friday. So they're having their third straight opening
series. Their opening day doesn't start till this week?
Yeah, remember we talked about last week? They will have four opening days?
Yes, I remember that, but I wasn't thinking that they would not have started their own by then.
Not yet. So tonight
there's an Atlanta people being late kind of joke in there, racist joke that I could probably do, but.
Well, really, I think it's probably they're putting the finishing touches on the new stadium.
I hope not. They're trying to make it death-proof. How many people died at that last stadium? It was two, right?
I don't remember.
Over the rails? Didn't they have two over the rails guys there?
I remember there was at least the one. And I think
they
put up
two.
It could be, definitely.
But that might just be wishful thinking, John.
And the Turner Field, or whatever it was called, was not in the nicest area of town. Not that it was in a horrible area, but it was on the southeast side of downtown Atlanta, which was not a place to bring the family on the weekend. But the new stadium is up on the north side, and it's they're putting the finishing touches. So anyway.
And do you know where they're going to put the new stadium 10 years from now?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Probably 25 years from now.
Yeah.
This one will probably last because they built a whole park around it and a complex and hotel and entertainment village and this whole thing. So anyway, what we're trying to get to is that when they have their opening day, which is going to be Friday, and they're having opening night with the Marlins, Miami's having their opening day today, the Braves will be, this is an awfully long setup for something that's really insignificant, but they're going to be selling beer that's actually made with the shavings of a baseball bat. Is that pretty phenomenal?
Sounds great. What's next?
So all that just for that? You're like, enough of this. The Braves got way too much airtime. So that pretty much wraps up the headlines for this week. So now we can move into starting nine.
Great.
And now that it's playoff time for hockey and the NBA, you've chosen that this week's starting nine will be nine baseball players that have hockey-sounding affiliated names.
Yes. Okay, a couple things about this one. First of all, Stanley Cup playoffs is pretty much the only time I watch hockey. I'm one of those guys. I know there's just a lot of other sports going on, but I'll watch teams that I'm not even rooting for in the playoffs just because playoff hockey is a little more exciting, a lot more on the line, but, you know, whatever. There's only so much time that I have. Second thing I will say about this is this was maybe the one of the starting nines I was the most excited about doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you will surely be sorely disappointed.
Okay.
I can't wait. This is terrible. And I'm just going to breeze through these because they're
freaking
terrible.
And I'm
probably
going to laugh harder than I ever have, right?
These are awful, John.
Okay.
I was so excited about this, but when I just started all those Canadian names and European names, it just didn't work. All right, so here we go, right? Clayton Richard, Rocket Richard, so Clayton Richard.
That's good.
Right?
I like that.
That's okay. Dioner Navarro for Marcel Dion.
These are great. I'm liking it.
Now, written differently but pronounced similarly, Patrick Waugh, Michael Waka.
Okay.
But if you write it down, it looks like I'm an insane person.
I thought you were going to say Wah Hobbs.
Oh, fun.
The Natural.
Moving on. Trust me, if there was a Roy in baseball currently, which there hasn't been in 68 years, that's not a real number. Anyway, did I do Robbie Ray Bork?
Okay. Yeah, right. These are good. They're connecting.
This is boring. Look, this one is a bad one, but I had to get Gretzky on here because he's the great one. Chris Devensky.
Okay.
I felt like this is almost racist to do it like that, or xenophobic or whatever. Like, hey, look, it's a Polish name. But Chris Devensky is the only Polish name I could find in the major leagues currently. Luke Robitaille, Taiwan Walker.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little stretch.
Gordie Howie Kendrick.
I like that. See, that's good.
Now, this guy's retired, but just last year, David Ortiz, Bobby Orr, plus it's a Boston thing.
There's a connection.
Right? Isn't that weird? Like, one of them, it's like Bobby Orr is obviously no longer as popular as David Ortiz. He passed him at a certain point. But you have two of the most famous Boston athletes, and their last name's Orr. Hmm. Anyway, something to think about. Or to forget completely. Now, this one doesn't really fit, but Jaromir Jagr. And Yair Jurgens.
Okay, that's good. You're getting the J-R-R-R.
He's not in the major leagues anymore. He's on the, I think he's on a AAA team for the Dodgers. Jair Jurgens. Side note on Jair Jurgens. Yair Jurgens? I don't know. He's mentioned in the movie Trouble with the Curve, which is not a good movie.
Is that the Clint Eastwood one?
That's the Clint Eastwood one. You might be surprised because no one was talking about it, that it actually is not a good movie. It's not a good movie. And it only vaguely approximates what baseball is like, as far as I can tell. But good for them. Last but not least on this starting nine, for all baseball players, Joe Sakic. Because baseball players are always scratching themselves.
Joe Sakic. Got it.
See? That was the only one I liked out of all of those.
That was good. That was good. See, that was not even close to being the worst.
Okay. Wait, what? Wait a second. What is that supposed to mean?
I think the worst is yet to come, to be honest with you.
Oh, thank you, John. I appreciate the note of optimism.
It's tough. I think you challenge yourself every week to come up with something that is both connected and funny.
Are you saying that I'm challenged?
I'm saying that you're challenged by the process.
Fair enough.
Which is fun. Comedy is not pretty.
It was disappointing for me because I was so excited about the hockey thing. I think that's
well, maybe next week you can redeem yourself with the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, right, because the NBA playoffs start next weekend, right? So, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to the next segment, we're going to go through the preseason awards. Last week we talked about who we thought was going to emerge from each one of the divisions to make the playoffs and get into the World Series. This year we're going to focus on postseason awards.
Yes. And here's what I was thinking, John. Instead of just saying who we think will be number one for each category, mm-hmm. why don't we do a few?
That sounds
like
good. I was actually thinking of more along the lines of, you know, somebody who would definitely be, you know, some of the names are names that you would think of right off the top of your head, and it's kind of like, oh, that's what everybody's going to say. But
well, two of them are like slam dunks, right? Like AL MVP and NL Cy Young.
See, but this is where
if we guess other than two, then we're just trying to guess, right? We're trying to game the system.
Yeah, I'm feeling I'll kick it all off here. I'm feeling the Correa vibe over in the AL this year.
I'm going to tell you a little something about Carlos Correa. I think he's an exceptional shortstop. I don't think he's ever going to live up to the hype of that first season that he had. And I think there's so many people that want him to live up to that hype. And I just think he's going to be a very good shortstop, but he's not going to be great. Look at his numbers. They're just not great.
But he's still
strikeout
young.
Problems. I don't think he has any runs batted in yet this year. He's got one run batted in.
But I think the AL MVP is completely up for grabs. You've got...
No way. First of all, the tide is completely turned on the Mike Trout thing. Everyone knows he's the best
player in baseball. Right.
In baseball.
And
that team is going to win games. You look at that Angels team. They are scoring runs like I told you they would, John.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't believe me. You were like,
I didn't.
Albert Pujols, no one cares. Calhoun, now granted their pitching is still spotty.
Well, they're just going to have to score 8-9 runs every
exactly.
game.
They're going to do that thing. And you know who's going to be there? Mike Trout. I don't want to, John, you can put down someone for number two on AL, but AL maybe, but...
So you're dissing Mookie Betts, Manny Machado, Francisco
Lindor.
Those
are great players.
Jose Altuve.
Those are great players. But Mike Trout is Mike Trout. And people are using wins above replacement now to help make their choice, not just those old-fashioned numbers, you know. And I don't think Miguel Cabrera – see, the thing is, if someone had Miguel Cabrera's numbers against Mike Trout and played any sort of decent defense – then I think that person would beat Mike Trout. Like, I think you could close a one win above replacement. I think you could close that gap with, like, being on a playoff team and having a big September and like all those sort of traditional MVP things. But Mike Trout's just the best.
Yeah, see, but I look at it, I guess I think about it a little bit differently. Is he the most outstanding player? Absolutely. But is he the most valuable player to his team? That's something that you can't.
Yes, he provides the most wins for his team.
So what if they don't make it to the playoffs?
Who cares?
I still
it doesn't say most valuable player. Now look, the only thing I will concede, and this is when I was interviewed about this by the Detroit radio station who took umbrage at one of my articles about this. This is the only thing I will concede is that performance in September, when games are on the line, I think that matters. I think that's when you are adding to just the statistical mm-hmm. value. Mm-hmm. When it's like, oh, look, we're three games out or three games up and we need this win. But I went through Miguel Cabrera's numbers for the Triple Crown. His September was extremely pedestrian. And by statistic, I proved he was only actually able to help them win three games. They only won three games because of him. Where if they didn't have him, and at the same time, in that month, he was personally responsible for three losses. Now, you know, in a broader sense of like, he made an error that allowed a winning run to score. But I just went through like every game, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, I feel that should be more weighted, but Mike Trout's number one. Come on, don't come here with this other stuff.
He's number one, he's the best player in the game.
Yes,
But you can say that by the end of the year, depending on what happens, other players are in the conversation as well.
Well, yeah, like if Mike Trout gets injured, sure. Who do you think is going to be the AL MVP if Mike Trout gets injured, John? I'll give you that.
Carlos Correa.
Okay, good.
Or Manny Machado. Those
okay,
be,
good. So I'm those okay, are my I'm top okay three. I don't think Correa is going to be in the top five, but I like Machado. I think he's going to put up strong numbers, and I think his defensive value is through the roof as well.
And once Mookie Betts gets his cold or his flu under control, he could be part of the conversation too.
If he just walked a little bit more, Mookie Betts. If he just walked a little bit more.
Okay, let's move on to the National League Most Valuable Player.
Now we're all over the place, right? There's no one guy you can say this is the guy. So who do you have first?
I as much as some people think that, oh yeah, last year was an indicator of that he wasn't as good the year before, but I still think Bryce Harper is the best player in the National League.
So that is Fangraphs' consensus as well. Yeah. Fangraphs' consensus. Wow.
Consensus is
great choice of letters there.
So my choice, top choice was going to be Bryce Harper. And then,
okay. Number two, let's go Corey Seager.
Corey Seager would be my third.
Well, I'm putting Corey Seager second, and because we're not doing a separate list, you and I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
Okay.
And who do you want to put in third? Who do you think's gonna?
I would go with Nolan Arenado because I do think the Rockies are going to have a good year this year.
Fair enough. Possible. Very good defender, but you know when you adjust those offensive numbers for Coors Field, not quite as impressive. But he could even outperform that still, and.
Although he was horrible in the World Baseball Classic, but apparently he's righted the ship heading into the regular season.
Yes, he does seem to have righted the ship.
But you can't count out Rizzo. You can't count out Chris Bryant.
No,
Daniel
Chris Bryant,
Murphy,
who started off slow, but he's
Paul
hitting
Goldschmidt,
the ball hard. And
Kershaw. Kershaw is always part of the MVP conversation. So yeah,
I think this year, I don't think Kershaw has a chance this year. I think there's enough great hitters in the National League this year.
And he's already given up four home runs. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, that's wild.
He should be on the not hot list.
Yeah, but Coors Field, everyone gets a pass. Every pitcher gets a pass at Coors Field, even Clayton Kershaw.
Okay, so let's move on to AL Cy Young.
Now, see, here's all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of candidates here.
I'm going to say Sale.
I would put him up there because he should get the run support, even though he hasn't in the first two, which means he has a chance to win 20 games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he would be my first choice as well.
Yeah. And then number two, Kluber?
Kluber could be number two, but I would say that, again, it's the playoff performance. He has started off on a good note as well. But Aaron Sanchez is another young, getting better.
My problem with him, and I don't disagree with you, I think he could actually get better than last year, is he just doesn't get the strikeouts. Mm-hmm. You know, and like strikeouts are always a part of it's wins, right? Which I don't, but that less so. But strikeouts are always a part of who's going to get the award, in my opinion.
And it's too early for Darvish. Maybe next year we can have hit the cover. I just think he needs more time to recover from his injury.
Yeah.
But he's part
Verlander
of
Verlander could be a sneaky guy.
He could. He finished second last year, didn't he?
He's looking good.
He finished second by just...
Well, he should have won last year.
Should have won last year.
I think he might... Maybe he even gets some, like, consolation votes, you know?
Yeah, because I think he only lost by, like, 10 votes or less than 10 votes. It was really close.
Yeah, he should have won.
Okay, do we even have to talk about the NL Cy Young?
Right, so who's going to come in second? Syndergaard, right?
Syndergaard would be my second choice.
And then Bumgarner, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like the... and then there's a huge drop-off from there, I think. I think
Scherzer's kind of close.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Man, he just gives up so many home runs. Like,
and if he gets a couple of no-hitters, that'll help. Yeah. He's always good for a no-hitter or two.
Yeah. But, I mean, picking anyone other than Kershaw is just like, yeah, you think why Kershaw's going to get injured. That's right. Literally the only...
The only way he doesn't win it, yeah.
Because he was in consideration last year even after missing 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his numbers were actually... His wins above replacement were actually above everyone.
And he didn't even play the last
And he didn't even play for two right. months. So, but you do have to count not playing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
What else we got?
Rookie of the Year, AL.
Okay, so I have a list here.
Is this one even...
Benintendi.
Yeah, I think
Jarrell Cotton. Mitch Haniger, Aaron Judge, and then dark horse Yoan Moncada.
Yeah, the only other person that I had on my list was Lucas Giolito.
Yeah,
potentially could rise to.
Here's the thing: I don't think he's going to wind up being that good. I don't think the Nationals would have traded him if he was the next Strasburg or whatever. I think
far it's working for him because Eaton's having a great start.
Yeah.
But I think Benintendi is the odds-on favorite.
And then Cotton looked great yesterday.
Yes, Woo! He did.
Man, that changeup is nasty.
Yeah, his windup, his delivery is weird, but it's very effective.
Yeah, I watched almost that whole game. Just sort of, it was in the middle of the day and just sort of like, oh, okay, I'll do this while I'm writing. Anyway, good, great stuff from him.
And
but
Haniger's
Benintendi
off
seems to have the time.
Too.
What's that?
Haniger's off to a good start. He's already got three home runs for the
Mariners. And he's got, you know, the defense too, and he should be able to stay in the lineup all year. Mm-hmm. So, but Benintendi seems to have the inside track just because that offense is going to produce so much, and they're batting him up near the top of the lineup. It's going to be good.
So, last but not least, National League Rookie of the Year. There's
right.
There's an odds-on favorite here, too, who squeaks in by what? One at-bat or two at-bats?
Yeah, three at-bats, like right? Yeah. Him and Josh Bell got Dansby Swanson and Josh Bell got their rookie eligibility saved by three at-bats. And I think for the Braves, the question is, would they have played him the makeup game? Because they actually only played 161 games last year.
That's true.
Would they have played him or would they have kept his rookie eligibility? Because sometimes they game the numbers, you know.
Yeah,
like,
sure, because it's to their benefit as a franchise to have a Rookie of the Year award winner. But he's. I mean, I think the only other, there's a couple of players. I think
my guy is Manny Margot.
Yeah, so I was going to say he would be my dark horse favorite to.
That's my guy.
I think he's a dark horse, though.
Look, first of all, you know what's going to matter? It's going to matter if they count defense. And I don't know what they do with – because here's the thing about Rookie of the Year voting. They do tend to vote up the stars a little bit. Like it's not just about how they did in their first year, but how they're going to do in the future. That's a known thing. Writers have said that. They add a little bit extra value if they think the player is going to be even better in the future. I don't know why, but because who knows?
So Chris Coughlin fits that category?
Wow. Yeah, but see, Chris Coughlin's numbers were so good.
They were. He had a phenomenal
rookie
year.
They outweighed that thing that they normally sort of... Right. I'm not saying it's like they calibrated down 30%, but like it's a tiebreaker that guys have, right? So you have Dansby Swanson, Robert Gsellman for the Mets, Manny Margot, Hunter Renfro is still rookie eligible for the Padres, but I think his on-base percentage is going to bottom out.
What about Glasnow?
I don't think Glasnow's I'd be surprised if he winds up being a starting pitcher at the end of everything. It's just so tall and so many, what do they call them? So many levers. Parts. Yeah, moving parts. I don't know. Can he stop throwing balls? Like, that's the problem, right? Like, if he can't control that, where that ball's going, doesn't matter how fast it's going.
Yeah, I think he pitched yesterday, and they had a shot of him in the dugout with the pitching coach with his hands on his shoulders, like lecturing. Well, not lecturing. That's pretty harsh, but just kind of like, it seemed like he was trying to walk him through the process, you know, to help, you know, settle him down a little bit.
But it's nerves too, right? Like, who was that guy last year I was so excited about? Jose Barrios.
Mm-hmm.
From the Twins,
dominates,
right?
In the minors, and call him up and he throws a ball all over the place.
Yeah, and what did he do on Saturday? He dominated the minors. 6 shutout innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk. So, you know, he'll be back up in a few weeks, and maybe he just needs to, you know, not all pitchers, it's not like a, what do they call it? It's not like a straight line.
Right, progression. Right.
Progression, exactly. It's like, it's a curve, right? And mm-hmm. so what the curve is varies from person to person. So I think Glasnow's got crazy stuff, but can he harness it? I don't know. And he certainly ain't going to be no rookie
here. It's like Buxton's curve. We're still on the flat part of it.
Oh,
it hasn't started to curve up.
Well, it curved up in September of last year.
You got to sustain that curve a little bit more to be. He's the light is fading on that, you know, sure thing prospect. Star of his. So speaking of that, we can move into the next segment.
Right, we're not doing Manager of the Year because that's a completely arbitrary award, right? And there's no way to guess.
Yeah, because when Ned Yost wins Manager of the Year, throw your hands in the air.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Anybody's got a shot. Ride the coattails of their players and win it by, you know, by accident, more or less. Okay, hot or not? What do we got
hot
for this
not.
Week?
All right, let's go. JT Realmuto, the hottest hitter
in baseball. Yeah, he's hitting over 500, driving in runs, on base.
No stolen bases, though.
Yet. He will get his.
But maybe it's just because he's not hitting singles.
right. He's been pretty.
He's a catcher that's known for a little bit of speed, and he hasn't stolen bases, but he's got.
Although you did witness that muff he had live when you were at the game the other night, right? The throw to home plate with the bases loaded and. Or maybe it wasn't bases loaded, but runner on third and easy out at home plate, or at least get him in a rundown, and he didn't catch the ball.
Right. The throw from Boer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's disappointing.
Yeah. Mets fans were mildly excited by that.
I was mildly
excited.
Wake up,
Mets fans.
Right. It was too early in the game. It was the first inning, I believe, wasn't it? I think
it was early. Yeah. I don't remember where it was. But yeah, that was an easy out, and he missed that. But hitting the hell out of the ball, he is definitely hot.
And he was the player of the week.
Oh, well, then there you go.
There you go. Right on. Ding.
Yes, and now not.
Speaking of the knots,
and
the leader
maybe
the
knottest of all knots.
Yeah, he's naughty.
Byron Buxton.
He's pretty naughty.
Okay, here's the thing. He has a 100 on-base percentage. He has 2 hits and 1 walk in 30 at-bats.
That's horrible.
18 strikeouts.
Can't recover from that. It's just so hard when you're that big of a
laser
slump.
Show, right? That's the that's the one thing. It's the Dustin Pedroia laser show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they brought him up to start the year, the Red Sox did, and for the first month, he was terrible. And people were saying, send him down, send him back down. And I said, you know what? We're just going to let this go a little bit more. And then the famous quote, laser show. He turned into one of the best hitting second basemen in the league. And Buxton did hit last September. Granted, it was against weaker opponents, but whoa, he's been awful.
Yeah, it's not a good start.
Like, I don't know if you can be a worse hitter than what he's being right now.
And it's got his psyche has to be damaged, you know, by something like this too. It's just, you know, maybe this is going to be the year you go in and you're off. And it's just more a matter of the mental part. He's got to be strong mentally to overcome something like this.
Now, I think the Twins should keep playing him.
And they will.
First of all, they don't have a better center fielder than him.
He may be out of options considering how many times they've sent him down.
But he is a great defensive center fielder. So he could be worth a couple wins, right? Without hitting the ball ever, but he does have to hit the ball a little bit.
Or
so
walk.
My guess is they give him through May, and if he's still scuffling, then they'll, you know, make him a defensive replacement or whatever. But
right.
maybe just needs a change of environment. Maybe he's one of those guys. But it's really kind of – now, that's a sad story, John, when you have someone with that much talent and it just doesn't come together. He'll be that guy. He'll be one of the people like, hey, who was a prospect you thought was a sure thing? And he's going to be on the top five of many people's lists. Who else?
Noah Syndergaard.
Hot.
Very hot.
Hot. More ways than one. I saw him in person. Very hot. And the ladies, they like he.
Yeah, he's bringing the heat so far this year. And he says he still believes that he can throw harder. So he feels like he still has
upside. Well, especially
now
with the faster gun.
Right. The faster gun, he gets it out of the gate. Right?
He's like, look at me.
Speaking of,
pitching faster.
I wanted to bring this up when we were talking about the faster the gun. Did you have a chance to see the documentary Fastball?
No.
Highly, highly recommend it. It will be one of the best baseball documentary films you've ever seen. It's all about the quest for throwing the hardest pitch and how they measured it over the course of time, going back to the early 1900s and all the way through Nolan Ryan and current day efforts to try to measure fastball. Very, very cool. Awesome documentary. Highly recommended. I have no affiliation whatsoever with that, but
this portion of the program brought to you by Fastball, available on Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu.
Yeah, and it's narrated by Kevin Costner, so got that going for it.
When you watch the movie, punch in the promo code Foul Territory and get yourself a 0% discount on the free viewing you are about to partake in.
Back to the show.
And now back to the show after this.
So while Buxton is a naughty, Miguel Sano is a hottie.
Super hot.
Super hot.
Crushing balls like a dominatrix.
And pounding the ball.
He's just like a dominating,
intimidating person at the plate, too.
Yeah.
Guy's so
well, he's
big.
Got that whole package, right? Like the huge monster guy with the big bat. He can, he has a pretty good eye, so he gets the walks, strikes out a little bit. But man, when he connects, it's everything you hope for a young baseball player.
Yeah, definitely. And another hot player right now is Paxton with the Mariners.
Yes, definitely hot. I think 14 innings pitched, no earned runs allowed, striking out guys.
Something happened last year when they sent him down.
Yeah.
And he came back, and the last month and a half, 2 months of the season, he was lights out, and he's picked
up.
Well,
he was 2.5 miles an hour faster on his fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is without the adjusted gun. This is just like he got faster. And maybe he did some like weight training or ball throwing stuff. But this is why I had him last year on my fantasy baseball team, tried to get him, couldn't afford, but I think he's fantastic. I think he's a top 30 pitcher right now.
And he'll be in the conversation for Cy Young next year, if he has a good season this year.
Yeah.
I think he's...
Yeah, especially in the American League, which is pretty thin. Yeah. I mean, he could do it this year.
Could.
If he does what he's doing now, obviously he's going to give up some runs the rest of the way. But he's controlling the strike zone. He's controlling hitters. He's throwing 97 from the left side. That's
and he
incredible.
Keeps the ball down, which is a huge advantage. Yeah, he's pretty
unlike
impressive.
Drew Smiley.
Love to watch him pitch. He throws a heavy ball, too. It's just he's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. So the last one on our hot or not list, definitely not hot.
Yeah, definitely not hot.
Jeamer Gomez.
Yeah. So he supplanted Sam Dyson as the worst closer in baseball this week.
Sam got one inning without giving up a run.
He did come in with a 7-run cushion. That helped kind of restore the confidence a little bit.
But he gave up no runs. That's huge.
That's huge. Especially
that's a complete turnaround.
Specifically since he was on, he's on your fantasy team. You needed that.
John, here's the sad thing. He's on all of my fantasy teams. I don't know. I've never done this. I don't. It just happened that way. He's on all of them.
You need to pick up the phone and call him.
Sam, I'm very good at fantasy baseball. Unless you're going to keep doing this thing, then I will be very bad at fantasy baseball.
You're killing me. Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, he was literally killing me. Well, my team, and probably not literally. Anyway, yeah, so Gomez is out as the closer in Philadelphia, though he should not have started as the closer. He's a 7th-inning guy, 6th-inning guy, mop-up. What's he doing? I have no idea why they selected him to be the closer to start
and
the season.
And we're not even 10 games in, and he's already yanked.
Yeah, but he would... I mean, the thing is, you have Benoit and you have Hector Neris. Those are two better pitchers. The Phillies aren't going to win that many games, but you do need to win the games that you're winning at the end of the day.
Like, when you look at that, he's blown a couple of saves, and if he's been able to pitch better, they're even, you know, what's their record now? I think they weren't doing too bad. The Phillies are 3-4, so, you know, maybe they would be 5-2. If not that it's going to matter at the end of the year, but I think the Phillies are an up-and-coming team anyway.
Yes, up-and-coming next year.
Yeah, we still got some time.
Yeah.
Let them.
All right, so that's all on the hot or not.
Yeah, so we're moving into the final stretch, extra innings, where we take a look at what's going on outside of the baseball world. I want to start off, it's not on our little list here, but I'm sure you've seen the clip of the United Airlines fiasco.
Yes.
What is going on?
First of all, here's what's going on, John. I hate to be like the guy, but when you're told you need to get off the plane, you need to get off the plane. Those are the rules. Now, if you're going to cry and scream like a wacko and then have to make it so the police have to come get you and drag you off the plane, half that's on you. Now, obviously, no one should be beaten up while getting off the plane, but the rules are the rules. The fine print says when you buy a ticket, you will get off the plane when told to.
Is that what the fine print says?
That's what it says.
I don't know if I've ever read that.
These people are like, oh, they should have offered more than $800. Well, they can't. It's regulated. You can't just start going up from 800. Here's the thing. Three people got off that flight. I'm taking the other way on this, but not to be like hot take guy, but like three people got off that flight. Now, should United be doing that, bumping passengers off? Like, that's United's own problem. But the PR that they've done on this since has been
horrific.
Horrific. Look, just fall on your sword. Just be like, we messed up. Don't try to tell everyone how right you are. There's video of a man being dragged off a plane.
Right, and their stock is down like $500 million as a result of this.
Yeah, like, you can get over a lot of things, but video of a man screaming and being dragged off a
with
plane.
With blood running down his face.
Right, because regardless of how wrong he is or how crazy he is, it's still a terrible look. This is PR 101.
Right, I agree. But one of the things that has been so much fun with this, to kind of turn it into something humorous, is Twitter's going crazy with the hashtag New United Airlines mottos.
Oh, yeah.
And they're absolutely hysterical.
Look, obviously they should have just given more money or something. They need to have another solution for when no one will get off the plane. But it has been quite a boon for social media.
Yes.
For the comedy people. I don't know if you saw Jimmy Kimmel's.
Kimmel's was fantastic. It did it within less than 24 hours. He had a full ad.
Yeah.
It was so good. Very good.
Spectacular send up of the whole thing. And like, this is just easy. Now, the great thing, of course, about this is just like, you know, America and social media and all this stuff is like locusts, right? We're going to eat this until there's nothing there and then we'll move on to the next thing. So in 3 days, no one will remember United Airlines guy. But for now, this is incredible.
Yeah, the comedy.
It's incredible game. Sport.
Yeah, it is. My favorite new United Airlines mottos is now serving punch.
Yeah, no, I saw a guy who did like a fake website of additional services you can buy for United, and one was like, we'll throw you from the plane mid-flight.
They're hysterical. It's amazing how quickly people jump on it with stuff that is quite funny. And it's not going to stop for the next few days. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Especially because every step along the way here, United is just like, and of course, was it 2 weeks ago, they were in trouble for this leggings thing.
Right.
Like,
bad things come in threes.
Stop it, United. Know.
Here's another good one. You are now free to get dragged around the cabin. it's good. Good stuff. Comedy gold with this. And I'm sure there's going
to
be
more
stuff on the late night.
They love to fight and it shows.
Yeah. It's funny. Funny stuff. Okay. Other sporting news, not baseball, but the Masters.
Yeah.
And Sergio Garcia finally, after on his 73rd try, gets a major championship.
Yeah. What was interesting to me, I don't really know much about golf, but I do know that happened. But it was interesting to me following it on social media because people were like, oh, he's going to choke. Oh, here comes the choke. Waking up Sunday morning to watch him choke. And he didn't. And he won.
He didn't. And it was un-Sergio-like in the way, because I'm a golf fan. I follow it, and I've watched all the majors and stuff. So I'm kind of plugged in and have been ever since I was a little kid. So, but he has been somebody who has always let his emotions get the best of him. And under pressure situations, usually does have some sort of a meltdown. He did not do that this time.
Yeah, and to me, I'm assuming you've played golf, right?
I have, and, yes.
It's such a mental, there's a physical thing, of course, but it's all such fractions of millimeters.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That it's, you know, the slightest, you know, apprehension of your own self can just, that's the end of it.
Yeah. Especially anyway, after he had the chance to win it in regulation with a 6 to 7 foot putt, and he missed it. And he kind of started whining that it broke the opposite way of that it should have. And he didn't hit a good putt.
Right.
And he came right back and won it on the next hole, which was even more impressive given the fact that he has had those kind of, you know, mental breakdowns in the past. So it was pretty special to see somebody like that finally get something that he's wanted so badly and obviously worked hard to get, but never been able to achieve. So kudos to Sergio.
Yeah, so congratulations to him for winning, but also for not melting down.
Not melting down, because everybody was waiting for it. Didn't happen. It was good. Good stuff. Good theater. Let's move on to Neil Gorsuch, finally, officially, after the nuclear, you know, option was induced by the Senate, is the newest member of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Rip Merrick Garland.
Some people said they're going to start calling him Neil Garland because it should have been his.
Here's what's interesting. First of all, I felt that when the seat opened up, I felt there was enough time in the year that it wasn't Obama sticking in someone at the end of his whatever the Republican argument was for it. Like, oh, well, it's too close to the end of his term for him to be able to nominate. He's the president. It's his job to nominate a Supreme Court justice. Put him up. Vote him off if you don't want. But put him up. And they, oh, this, that. We're not going to even look at him. Which to me, I don't like that kind of politics stuff. I know it's politics, but I hate that stuff. But
the thing about it, though, too, is that the hypocrisy of it all. Because they were saying that they shouldn't have to vote, and then when it became their turn to vote, and the Democrats did exactly what they did last summer, they bitched and moaned about it. It's like, you know, that's politics, at its best and finest, worst.
Yeah, it's the hypocrisy. Anyway, as far as I can tell, though, this Neil Gorsuch guy is like, I don't think liberals have anything to worry about. This guy does not strike me as someone who's like, okay, good. Now let's get Roe versus Wade out of here, and let's start cleaning house here. It seems like he's a good choice. There are some liberal organizations that have specifically backed him. I think he's more middle of the road. I think it was a bad play by the Democrats to go hard against him. I think you save that move for someone who you. I just feel like the Democrats are just playing everything wrong these days. But like, there's moves to make and there's moves to not make. Like, you don't need to contest everything. If you contest everything, then you're not contesting anything.
Well, it sounds like what the Republicans did for 8 years.
Yes, except...
obstruct, obstruct, obstruct.
Except there were things that, like, you didn't see all the Republicans always voting, you know, vetoing Obama's appointments. Like, the numbers of votes against the Trump appointments are, like, historic. It's never seen a number like this, but it's just Democrats being like, no, he's awful.
Well, they're doing it because they don't have the vote. So that's the main reason why is they can't vote somebody down. They need Republican help to do it. This has turned into a political podcast.
Yeah, so you're right. So back to the Supreme Court, which should not be political. And that's why I put it on the list. It should not be political. I think he's a good choice for the Supreme Court. I think Merrick Garland should have gotten a chance, and that... but he won't, and too bad for him. He'll just be that guy.
He'll be the footnote.
Yeah, he'll be the footnote guy. And who knows, in this day and age, maybe that winds up being more interesting than being a Supreme Court justice. Yeah.
So let's move on to more important things.
Yeah, like, the most important thing.
Most important thing, last but not least, and it's there for a reason, because it's the biggest news of the week.
I would say it's the last and it's the least.
Kylie Jenner getting her own show.
Yes, Life of Kylie. Now, for those of you who so listen to the clever. Show, know I am a bit of a Kardashian expert. Know your enemy. This is Sun Tzu. This is Art of War. Okay? Know your enemy. These people have gotten into our society and they've ruined everything. You think it's the Republicans, Democrats, Democrats? It's not the Republicans. Republicans, you think it's the Democrats? Republicans, it's not the Democrats. It's the Kardashian family. Now, because people finally got tired of watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and I guess it's one of those things where the people that were watching it just got jobs, right? They got older and got jobs, so they couldn't watch the show anymore. So the ratings went down far enough that, but see, now they got one Kardashian. E can afford one Kardashian. And there's enough people that will watch her doing her stupid things. It's going to be great. And there's going to be, it's going to make news fillers. And it's fine. We're going to find out like who is she hanging out with, and who is, what clothes is she wearing? What products is she selling of her sisters? And let's all remember all of this people, all of this stemmed from one sex tape. It's a really remarkable American success story.
So the other show is off the air now. It's not on anymore.
Yeah.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
America finally got tired.
I think the Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner thing, I think was a
accelerated weird the twist. Downward spiral.
Yeah. And so then that was weird for the show. And then of course there was Call Me Kate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that did terribly. No one wanted to watch that because first of all, look, you're going to trans. Hey, best of luck to you. Just because you're now a woman and you used to be a man, that doesn't make you an interesting person. And I'm telling you, there are very few people who are less interesting than Caitlyn Jenner. Also, let's talk about her sexist ideas of what a woman is. Oh, I spend all day doing my makeup. Like, okay, I'm sure women really appreciate that.
Coming from a former man.
Right? Like, oh, okay, so now you definitely understand what it's like to be a woman now. Thanks, Caitlyn.
Yeah, you're all caught up. Here's your card. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week.
Mercifully. That's our longest episode, and I would say not worth it.
Till next week.